There is a Chinese saying that goes, if you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing or shopping if you're like me. If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help somebody. For centuries, the greatest thinkers have suggested the same thing. Happiness is in helping others. For it is in giving that we receive. St. Francis of Assisi. The sole meaning of life is to serve humanity. Leo Tolstoy. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. Winston Churchill. Making money is a happiness. Making other people happy is a super happiness. Nobel Peace Prize recipient Muhammad Yunus. Giving back is as good for you as it is for those you are helping. Because giving gives you purpose. When you have a purpose-driven life, you are a happier person. Goldie Hawn. We were watching a Christmas movie on Netflix the other night, and that was her, right? So we're watching this movie, what's it called? Christmas Chronicles. Have you, any of you seen it? It's a cute movie. And so we were watching that movie, and at the end, this lady, Santa's wife, turns around, and it's supposed to be this big deal. And Travis and I both looked at each other like, what, why is she a big deal? Because it was like this big reveal, and she turned around, and she just was there. And you're like, they're sitting in their living room. Why is this a big deal? It was Goldie Hawn. It's a big deal. And were they married? Are they married? Long time together. Okay, so now I know. I don't know these things. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that side note. Good morning. Are you guys ready to find out the way to true happiness? All right, can we pray together? Holy Spirit, help. Holy Spirit, let my words be your words. Direct my mouth. Open our ears and our hearts. Let every single person in this room hear your love. Hear your hope. Hear your joy. Hear your peace this Christmas season. Because, oh, Jesus, we need it. We need to be overwhelmed by you. Because we know that we have this hope. Bless this time. In your name, amen. So happiness, this article, these quotes that I read, is from an article from the Time magazine. Thank you. Travis found it. And it's called The Secret to Happiness is Helping Others. So this is in Time magazine. This isn't a Christian organization. This isn't something from someone that we all know. This is Time magazine, which I thought was ironic, but not at all. Because every human being on the planet wants to be happy. Would you agree? And happiness, in the word, is described as joy. Right? We've done, a couple years ago, I did a message on joy, grace recognized. So walk with me through this. So we're going to change the word from happy to joy. Because as believers, it's so much deeper than temporary happiness. Happiness you can get from getting a new outfit or getting something yummy to eat, or, you know, that can bring happiness. Going fishing or going hunting, that could bring happiness. We kind of seek to do things that bring us pleasure. Well, guess what? You were made to do that. Why did God create Adam and Eve in the garden? Because he had to? Because he thought it was a good idea? Because he was lonely? No. Because it was for his pleasure. He wanted relationship. He created Adam and Eve for joy. out of his love came a man and a woman. Came us. How cool is that? Like, can you imagine how amazing the garden must have been? This isn't in my notes, but how amazing the garden must have been. Like, there, the things that we feel, the oppression we feel, the heaviness didn't exist in the garden. The innocence of childhood was the essence of Adam and Eve in the garden. Man, they had to have a blast. They didn't know anything other than joy. They didn't know sadness. They didn't know fear. They didn't know anxiety. They didn't know depression. They knew none of that. Wow. Wow. And I'm here to tell you today, I'm standing here to testify, to tell you that it can happen here now. We can live like that now. Joy was not our idea. Happiness, finding happiness, what's true happiness, not our idea. It is scientifically proven that God, they don't admit that it's God, but that God hardwired us to be joyful. It is how our brain is made. It's the pathways that he created to love, to be happy, to need joy in our lives, and to make others joyful. Joy is the word that brings a deeper meaning to happy. Happiness is fleeting. Joy is eternal. Forever. Forever. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Let's dig in. I feel like we're sitting at a table with a lot of yummy food and I'm ready to eat. Yay! Are you guys hungry this morning? Joy of the Lord. Joy of the Lord. Galatians chapter 5. So I sat down with my notes early this morning and I had it all written out and I sent them to Travis and I said, do the PowerPoint. This is what I want on the PowerPoint. And I sat down with my notes this morning just to go over them, and the Holy Spirit flipped the whole thing upside down. And I called Travis, and he said, you don't want that? And I was like, I don't know. So you don't want that? I'm not sure. Do you want that? You can leave it, but I'm not sure we're going to go there. So walk with me as the Holy Spirit orders my steps and my thoughts this morning, because it's so fun to do that. It's so fun to keep in step with the Spirit. So we're going to keep in step with the Spirit. We're going to start in Galatians chapter 5 because I was going to start with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Okay. I'm a little hyper. So exciting. It's okay. Thanks, Mary. Appreciate it. But I opened the word this morning and I had to go back. Galatians chapter 5, the entire chapter, it starts with the title, A Life of Freedom. A Life of Freedom. Let's start with verse 1, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation. So read along with me, but you'll catch some of it in your translation. It'll be a little bit different. Chapter 5, verse 1. Let me be clear. The Anointed One has set us free. Not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. We must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. God's okay with stubbornness. If some of y'all have been called stubborn in your life, it's okay. It's a gift. Because he wants us to have a resolve. Just let that gift be operated by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that stubbornness turns into resolve. That we're not going back. We're not repeating the past. We are a new creation. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves every single day that we are free. We are free every day. Every day, renew your mind every day, because our minds forget very easily. Ann Voskamp says it's an amnesia of the soul. We have to remind ourselves, because sometimes it's like we got hit in the head and we forget. That was funny. It's okay. You can laugh. Jump down to verse 5. All of this is good. Read it later. It's so good. But the Holy Spirit convinces us that we have received by faith the glorious righteousness. We have received by faith the glorious righteousness of the Anointed One. All that matters now, jump down in the middle of verse 6, is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. What is your faith activated by? What turns on your faith? Love. What were Adam and Eve created for in the garden? Love. Your faith is activated and brought to perfection. Do you have to make it happen? It doesn't say by performing so many miracles and by being so good and not lying, only lying maybe 5 times, by repenting every day, 12 times a day, and feeling shameful all day long, and make sure that you don't forget to, it doesn't say that. Your faith is brought to perfection by love, not by what you do, not by how good you are. But by, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son. Woo! Woo! Guess what I'm looking at? A bunch of saved believers. Because of his love. Skip down. Verse 13. It gets better. Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an opportunity to set up base of operations in the natural realm. Don't set up base here. Freedom means that we become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants of one another, expressing love in all that we do. Oh. Remember the Kingdom Culture series that we did? The kingdom-mindedness, that we live in freedom. We live in that thought process. We think about the upside-down kingdom of heaven. Don't set up base here. Don't live in the natural. For love completes the laws of God. What are the laws of God? All of the law can be summarized into one grand statement. One. You ready? Demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. What is the law of God? Love. And then it says, but if you continue to criticize and come against each other over minor issues, you are acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another. Just a side note. Ouch! I read that really fast. And I think we do that sometimes when we make excuses for the natural to come out. And we forget that that's not our new natural. Our new natural is love, which means grace and forgiveness and peace and gentleness and kindness and goodness. Well, that sounds great, Leslie, but you didn't go through what I went through this week. That's sweet, honey, but you don't understand what they did to me on the highway. No, I'm just kidding. Anybody got road rage? God convicts me of that anytime I'm like, idiot. Do you ever do that? It just comes out and you're like, oh, I'm really glad they didn't hear me say that. Okay, nobody else ever does that? Just me? Okay. Demonstrate love to your neighbor. This is the law of God. Right, I know. All right, so we're going to jump in to the fruit of the Spirit. Go to the next part of the chapter. I love the Passion Translation. So the beginning of this heading says, the Holy Spirit, our victory. Our victory. The Holy Spirit, our victory. How in the world do we do this? Because life is real. Pain is real. Suffering is real. Leslie, it's nice, but we don't live in the garden anymore. How do we do this? I want to know. I want to know. Because I feel like I fail daily. So I'm asking the Holy Spirit, how do I do this? This is hard. On my own, this is really hard. I can't. I fail. I can't make this happen, God. How do I do this? He keeps bringing me back to this passage, guys. All year long, we've come back to Galatians 5. It's on above the doors. Keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. And every time I say, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. Where does he bring us back to? Keep in step with the Spirit. I shared a word a couple weeks ago that asking the Holy Spirit for help is not for your shame, but for your honor. So when we, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's read the word. Okay, verse 16. As you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. For your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self from dominating you. What cravings hinder your old self from dominating you? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's intense cravings. Do you ever get to a place where you are so hungry for God that you will do anything? You will cry. You will dance. You will fall on your knees. That's the Holy Spirit in you, craving more of God, craving more relationship, craving more intimacy. Don't resist him. Jump in. So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. But when you are brought into the full freedom of the Spirit of grace, you will no longer be living under the domination of the law, but soaring above it. We will move from having to do to be good enough to a place of rest in the love of God. There's no performance necessary. Jesus' first 30 years of life, he wasn't doing ministry, and God loved his son immensely before he did his first miracle. How cool is that? Anne Voskamp also says that God loves us 100% before we even perform 1%. You've heard me say that over and over and over again because I need the reminder. We need the reminder that it isn't about what we do, it's about what we receive, what we internalize, what we believe. Keep going. The cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addiction, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm? But there's always a but. right? But keep going, because that sounds pretty rough, doesn't it? Because I know I'm guilty of a lot of those. Can we be real? Reading through those, I've never done that. I'm doing it right now. None of us can stand and say we are perfect. None of us can stand and say we're without sin. And when we do, look out. We can't. Don't look at the speck in your brother's eye when you got a plank in your own. But what did he say in verse 16? When you are brought into the full freedom of the Spirit. What is that? The full freedom of the Spirit? Can I live like that? Is that real? It is. Keep reading. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit, bless you, within you is divine love. In all its varied expressions. I'm going to read a side note here. There is clear textual inference that the fruit, singular, not fruits, but fruit, one fruit, of the Spirit is love, with the other virtues displaying aspects of the greatest quality of Spirit life, agape. So what do you have to have in order to have the rest? Every time. Every time. Every time. You cannot produce any other fruit if you are not founded, grounded, and rooted in love. Keep going. So it says, all the varied expressions. I love this. Okay, so the other thing that the Passion Translation does is they talk about the fruit of the Spirit. They've translated it from the Greek, and in the Greek, it's an action word. It's not just love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's an action. Be joy. Be love. Do an action verb word, you know? So, okay, so here's what they say. Joy that overflows. How many of you want that? Every day. I want joy that overflows every day, Jesus. Every day. Peace that subdues. Patience that endures. Kindness in action. A life full of virtue. Faith that prevails. Gentleness of heart. And strength of spirit. That last one is self-control. And that one always got me when I read the fruits of the Spirit, self-control. It always made me feel like I had to be in control of myself. I had to make myself good. But do you want to know the translation of strength, of self-control? It is actually, in the Greek, strength of spirit. It's not you doing it and making it happen. It's strength of spirit. Who is your spirit founded in? Jesus. So it's not about us having enough control. It's about us being completely and surrendered and overwhelmed by the love of Jesus. And then we have enough self-control for the rest of our days. And the enemy can lie to us and tell us we got nothing, but we can go back and say, nope, I've got the strength of the Spirit. You get away from me and leave me be. I will not fall to you again. You are nothing but a mouth. And I have the power of the Holy Spirit. I am resisting you right now. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. In my weakness, you are stronger. Come on, Jesus. Come on. That is so good. Oh, it gives me the willies, chilies. You know those. Okay. All right, so back to the verse. Skip down to verse 25. We must live in the Holy Spirit and follow after him. What verse is that? Keep in step with the Spirit. So may we never be arrogant or look down on another. For each of us is an original. Come on. We must forsake all jealousy that diminishes the value of others. Jump to chapter 6. So when you ask and you say, Holy Spirit, and this is literally this simple. We're not talking about the gifts of this. We're talking about abiding in the Holy Spirit every day, all day long. And it is very simple. How do I do this, Leslie? Ask. How do I do it? Ask. Holy Spirit, I need your help. Holy Spirit, I need your help. Holy Spirit, talk to me. Holy Spirit, I need to hear your voice. Jesus sent him as a comforter. He sent him as peace. He sent him to be with us. He sent him after he had to go. Holy Spirit, be with us. So after we ask, Holy Spirit, I want to produce your fruit. I'm going to plant myself in you. What do we do next? It said, be careful not to look down on anyone. But then the next thing, which is so cool, carry each other's burdens. What does that mean? My beloved friends, listen to Paul, Galatians 6. My beloved friends, if you see a believer who is overtaken with a fault, may the one who overflows with the Spirit seek to restore him. Win him over with gentle words, which will open his heart to you and keep him, you from exalting yourself over him. Love empowers us to fulfill the law of the Anointed One. What's the law of the Anointed One? Love God and love. Love empowers us to fulfill the law of the Anointed One. As we carry each other's troubles. If you think you are too important to stoop down to help another, you are living in deception. Let everyone be devoted to fulfill the work God has given them to do with excellence. And their joy and their joy and their joy will be in doing what's right and being themselves. Not trying to be someone else, but be yourself. That's when your joy will be complete. When you embrace fully who God has made you to be and you rest in his love and you ask Holy Spirit to be with you, your joy is made complete when you reach a hand out and say, I love you. What can I help you with? How can I pray for you? What can I give you? What do you need? That is where our joy comes. That's where this candle means something. Because I don't know how long I've tried to manufacture my own joy, but it never stays and it never lasts. But when I say, Holy Spirit, you in me produce that fruit of joy. It's eternal. And their joy will be in doing what's right and being themselves and not in being affirmed by others. So we're not doing it to get a pat on the back. Good job. So glad you did that. That's not what we're doing. The Bible says that if you do it for the praise of man, your reward is now, not in heaven. So you got your reward. You got a clap. Good job. That's your reward. So that's why he says do it in secret where no one sees. It's pretty cool. Okay. That's a whole nother topic. Every believer is ultimately responsible for his or her own conscience. And their joy will be in doing what's right and being themselves. Do you know that exactly who you are, if you could take off all of the things that have happened in your life and you could set them on a shelf and leave them out? Everything. Because you know what? Sometimes we need to do that. Sometimes we walk around carrying the guilt of years. And Jesus doesn't even see it anymore. It doesn't exist to him. So what we're carrying is not his way. It's not his thought. It's been forgiven and redeemed at the cross. And sometimes we need to set aside what life has thrown our way. And we need to look to Jesus and say, who am I again? Tell me who I am. Who am I? I'm your daughter. Yes, I'm your daughter. You love me just for me, my silly, loud, crazy self. My middle child, needy, needs attention self. Do you see what I'm saying? You set all of that aside. the lies. I just spewed out lies about what the enemy has said about me. That's not how God sees me. He's like, you're my daughter, and you have a beautiful spirit, and you have joy, and you express it, and I don't ever want you to change. Be submitted to my spirit. Be planted in me. Pastor Travis, come on up. Be planted in me and let my spirit pour out of that personality I gave you, and watch out. Amen? We are two very different personalities. Can you tell? But you know what? I think that the Lord did that on purpose, because we both have learned so much from each other in marriage. And like, iron sharpens iron, it's so true. But it's so good, because when he is strong in something and I'm weak in something, we sharpen each other. But also, his personality is an introvert and my personality is an extrovert. We complement each other, and we also pull out a love for people, and he has pulled out a love for intimacy in me, for the quiet, for the alone time that I need. So it's really cool how God works in that. That wasn't really in the message. So I asked, we were talking, and I said, this is amazing, this is powerful, and the scripture cannot be any more powerful. I mean, it's just knockout powerful. Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean practically? How do we do it? And I've said, ask. That's great. But how do we do it? And he's got a really good illustration that I hope we always remember about what it means to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit.
You know something, honey? For iron to sharpen iron, it has to, you know, there has to be some tension there. Just wanted to point that out. We are so in love, though. So in love. Nobody wants to hear that. Okay, so moving. Thanks, Mary. Mary, you are such an encourager. It's awesome. I'm so glad that you are our neighbor. We live like we can see her house from our house. It's awesome. So most of what I'm about to share with you, I'm stealing. I know you're not supposed to do that. There's something in the Bible about not doing that, but I'm going to do it for just a minute. So this is not my thoughts. Mostly this is Bill Johnson. And one thing I love that Bill Johnson says is, and Leslie tapped into this, is that it's fruit of the Spirit, not fruits of the Spirit. It is one fruit, nine different manifestations. So it's not, oh, I'm really good at love, joy, peace, and patience, but I'm really not that good at self-control. What are the other ones? Love, joy, gentleness, kindness. Yeah, no. The fruit of the Spirit is one fruit demonstrated in love with eight different manifestations. So an apple tree, what was an apple tree created to do? Good. You guys are with me. This is good. I know it's 11:30, but those of you who didn't know the answer to that question, just ask your neighbor to, you know, slap you or something. Okay. An apple tree was created to produce apples. How many of you like apples? Okay. You, through the redemption of the blood of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you, a new creation, are created to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? But how many of you have ever seen an apple tree? You're watching that apple tree, and that apple tree goes, "Woo! There's an apple." No, because an apple tree does not have to strive to produce an apple, because an apple tree was created to naturally produce apples. Yet we, as sons and daughters, think that it is our responsibility to cultivate and develop the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, as like it's something that we have to make happen and manufacture. But the fruit of the Spirit, as natural as it is for an apple tree who is rooted in good soil, so we have to be rooted in good soil and to keep in step with the Spirit. As natural as it is for an apple tree to produce apples, it should be as natural for us to bear and produce the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. If our identity is in the Spirit, if we are keeping in step every day with the Holy Spirit, it will not have to be something we strive towards, but something that naturally happens, that we become the fruit of the Spirit.
Oh my goodness. Good catch. Think fast. Erica Bays was just like, oh no, I saw my life flash before my eyes. You know, Jesus, you're good. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, so, woo, that's so good. Isn't that so good? That's good. It's natural. I feel like my arms should be up and I boop. It's natural for us to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And I think that's so freeing, isn't it? It's not a must, it's a natural. And the practical side of that, he said, is to be rooted in the Word. But I think that there's something too. The Word is so powerful, and it's the fertilizer. But I think intimacy with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is where the fruit begins to, the roots are growing, the tree grows up, and the fruit begins to produce. Because when we are in a place of intimacy, and I'm not talking about coming to church on Sunday morning and singing a good song and feeling a little bit of something right here. I am talking about on Monday morning at 5 o'clock when you can't sleep, Jesus, Jesus. If that's all you've got, Jesus, Jesus. I'm talking about Tuesday night when your kids are driving you mad and you want to react in anger. Fruit of the Spirit, help me, Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me. It's real, okay? It's so real. When that coworker is bashing you behind your back and you want to go knock them out, Holy Spirit, help. Holy Spirit, help. Holy Spirit, help. And I can tell you something, that when you begin to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we already are. We wouldn't be sitting here if we weren't. But as we continue and begin to really embrace that intimacy, because I feel that God is calling me to that. I'm not up here saying that. I feel like I love Jesus with all of my heart. I'll do anything for him. But God's calling me and saying more intimacy. Spend more time with me. Spend more time in my presence. Talk to me more. Ask me for more help. Be with me, Leslie. I'm here everywhere you go. I'm here. I care about everything you're thinking about. I made you with all the feelings you're feeling. I'm here. Call out to me. Root yourself in me. Everything that you are praying for, everything that you plant, love, patience, gentleness, kindness, everything that you plant. This is the cool part in this chapter, in chapter 6. So you give and you pour out to each other, and you love and you carry each other's burdens. You carry each other's burdens and you lay them at the foot of the cross. We can't change it, but Jesus can. Not all the time can we make something better in our own strength. Never can we make it better in our own strength, really. We could buy something, but there's something more. Carry it to the cross. Carry each other's burdens. And when we begin to bear fruit and we plant those seeds in people's hearts and lives, it says we harvest what we plant. That's the next section in chapter 6. I have to read this part. Make no mistake about it. God will never be mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that was planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of a life, self-life, into this natural realm, you can expect to experience a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, you will reap the beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. You will. Not sometimes, not maybe you will reap. All the time, every time, you will reap. If you're operating in the Spirit life, you will reap the beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. And don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened in planting the good seed, because sometimes it's a long waiting process. I believe this part of the word is prophetic for Lifeway Church. For the season of reaping, the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others, especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith, because they will know us by our love for each other. Will you stand with me? It's so cool that you produce the fruit, but it's not for naught. Like, it's, you're planting seeds in someone's life when you love them. When you give them kindness, it's a seed planted. And what does he promise? What is his promise in the word? That every parent that is crying out for their children to come to Jesus, and you're planting seeds of faith in your prayers every single day, what is his promise? What can you stand on? And when you continue to produce and you continue, it's just an overwhelming, unending blessing of abundance. I mean, we're just going full circle this year. God just keeps telling us abundant life, abundant life, abundant life. And that joy we're longing for is when we get rooted and we say, Holy Spirit, help. Holy Spirit, help. So we're going to take a few minutes right now. And I want you to just spend time, be intimate with God right now. Close your eyes if you need to. Sit down, kneel, whatever you need to do. Take time right now as Travis sings to ask the Holy Spirit for help. To ask the Holy Spirit to speak. To just say, I want to bear that fruit. I want to do that. Jesus, I know your love has made me complete. Help me walk in complete and wholeness.